for our podcast. We're talking monsters. Real monsters.
Ah!
Cool.
I was waiting. Enough chit-chat, a-hole. Let's get into the business of tonight. So tonight is volume two of our favorite monsters. You can check the other one on our YouTube channel or podcasts anywhere. We talked about, it was just Bob, Devin, and I that night. We talked about some pretty cool monsters, just our favorite in general. But tonight we're down to narrow it down a little bit. We're talking challenge rating one or below monsters. But before we get to that, check us out on Twitter at @DN_dad. We're having a good time. We're almost finished with our 20-day questions. I can't remember what the last two are, but they get a little interesting. Like the other day was, if you could cast Wish one time, what would it be?
How big are your nipples?
Interesting. Large? Now I'm off track. Anyways, Twitter, @DN_dad. YouTube at DadBodD&D. Podcasts everywhere, DadBodD&D. Anyways, so volume two of our favorite monsters. Unlike our original or most of our podcast episodes where we kind of roundtable something, I'm going to hand it over to whoever is up first, and they're going to go through some questions and kind of give us the lore and some background and some cool shit that your monster can do, and just tell us about it. So any volunteers want to start?
Yeah.
Nobody. I'll start. You want me to start?
Yes.
I'll start. Okay.
Why not? Set the pace, bro.
All right. So I chose Fire Newts from Volo's Guide to Monsters. And a couple things, some cool stuff that they can do. Some lore about them is they are akin to lizard folk. So they kind of branch off somewhere on the evolutionary tables from lizard folk. Something about them is they have to be around like lava and warm areas. If they're away for too long, they start to deteriorate and go into a hibernation mode, which is kind of cool. There's not currently a player race for them, but I did find some homebrew stuff online. But they're pretty cool. They're CR half, one half. And they do have a multi-attack, which I thought was kind of nice for such a low CR. They get two attacks with their scimitar. They also have a special ability of spitting fire, which recharges after a short or long rest, which is kind of nice for some lower level parties if they're new players. It's a small monster that can do some cool shit and kind of wow your players, I think, with this without totally nerfing them at the beginning. So the Spitfire is a DC 11 dex save with 2d8 fire damage. They're kind of beefy as far as armor class. Armor class is 16 with 22 hit points, so a little difficult to hit.
And what's their credit? What's their rating challenge rate?
One half. With an armor class of 16.
Hit points and 22 hit points.
Yeah. So they're kind of beefy. Especially if you can get that Spitfire to land, I think you might do some damage. But they also have some other things that go with them. They have a giant strider that they can ride, so they can be mounted and cruising along with these kind of like raptor-like creatures that are a CR1 themselves, and they have a fire burst that recharges on a 5 or 6. There's also in Volos, there's a warlock version of this Fire Newt. So the first time I played this, I didn't play against it. I was DMing for some people, and they had in this cave that had like a hot spring, and there's a bunch of fire newts in there, and I took a few down with the fire, with the Spitfire, and got them down. So it was pretty fun. It was a nice warrior, a nice creature to throw out there for a lower level, but wow them with enough abilities, so it wasn't, just playing goblins. It was, I think everybody expects goblins or kobolds, but this was a little different play on that, and it was kind of cool.
Cool.
They look like Red Kermit the Frogs.
Kind of. I imagine that's how they would talk, too.
Hey, Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah.
I was going to say, who's going to give an example of that?
All of us have a Kermit the Frog.
Which, as you can see on the screen, is a fire newt riding some sort of dinosaur, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that's the Strider. And you can see they're pretty, like, armored and ready for battle there. So, that's the one I chose because I had experience with it, but I previewed some of the other ones coming up, and I'm excited. So, anybody want to take this this torch and run with it?
How about you, Chris, with a K?
Yeah, I can do that since my monster can't run. Wit! Yeah, so I chose the Crawling Claw. It's in the regular old monster manual. In fact, it's so fresh it might be in the player's handbook. Some lore. It's a zombified hand. For some description, it's a zombified hand. It can also apparently be a paw or just some sort of claw. And actually, one of the interesting things about it, it's a zero challenge rating. So like you only get 10 XP for even fighting it. So like no one above level 1 is even going to encounter it. But it's immune to turn undead from clerics. So the one thing clerics can do, they're immune to.
That would piss me off as a cleric.
Watch this, here we go!
Yeah, and then it's just like, oh, sorry, it doesn't work. I also found an alternate, I think it was a Matt Colville build, for a swarm of crawling claws.
Oh, shit.
It was still only challenge rating 1.5, but that one's more terrifying, I feel.
That would be a lot of fun, though, just this wave of zombie hands, like, coming at you.
Yeah, well, the first time I encountered it was my first 5e game. In fact, it might have been the first time I played 5e. And we're like, we're level 1 or 2, we can handle this. And, like, 5 crawling claws, 2 zombies, and then some dude in the very back, and we're like, I think I was rolling crap because it's only got a AC of 12, and I missed it. I felt really bad. I felt worthless. But
it's schooled by some severed hands.
Yeah.
Severed feet would be worse.
Oh yeah.
It was an interesting and fun, I think, very first fight, just because I think we lost it. I missed the next game. But they stopped like midway through the fight because the store was closing. And yeah, I think we lost that fight.
Yikes.
Nice.
That's where the DM's like, you know, guys, we can just start over. Like,
yeah.
Like, you guys
I feel bad.
We're just going to start this over.
Magically, somebody comes in and saves you and you're all okay. Yeah.
Weird. Just stop. Something happened. I don't know. The magic's gone.
The undead has left them.
Like the zombies all just dominated us so much that the DM for Adventurers League was like, "Yeah, they run away."
Yeah, I've actually ran this monster once for a party, and they were in like this haunted mansion type thing, and it was like playing The Thing from Adam's Family. You know, it was pointing places for them to go and like setting them up for traps. And for whatever reason, they weren't attacking it, even though they could easily kill it. But it was just leading them through this fun house, and yeah, it was pretty fun.
Oh,
there's a couple good tropes for Severed Hands, like Idle Hands, the movie.
It's a great movie,
by the way. That's a great movie. I like that movie.
Last weird thing for the Crawling Claw, it actually understands common. I'm not sure how that works.
But it talks in sign language.
It doesn't speak, but it can understand common. I don't know how that one works.
And it can flip you off.
Can it attack? Does it have an attack? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's got like a +3, and it does a D4 damage.
What? It does claw. It does claw. It does claw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slam.
Strangely, you can either choose to punch or claw with it. It's a claw.
What about bludgeon or slash? Or
yeah. Tickle.
And it goes straight for the nipples. That's awesome.
Tickle's like a D12 rather than.
Yeah. Maxes out the damage dice.
And on a critical fail, you peel him.
Gross.
I'll go next.
Let's hear it.
So I also chose an old school monster. I'm a big fan of a lot of the original monsters from the original game. And I went with a good old-fashioned imp. A lot of you have probably ran into imps at some point in the game. Hell, if you are a warlock, you probably had an imp buddy. But I chose the imp because I love the lore behind the difference between devils and demons in D&D. An imp is a devil, and devils are all lawful evil. They have a caste system, and they all perform specific functions. Like, if you have a bone devil, they're like the slave masters that keep the imps in line. And the imps are like the minions for all the other devils. They're on the bottom of the caste system. They're cool to me because of the fact that they're lawful evil. They can be reasoned with, and they're not evil for the sake of being bad. They're evil for the sake of being mercenary. So I've always liked playing imps as, like, you don't have to fight these things. You can bribe them. You can reason with them if it suits them, you know? But whereas you think of, like, the demons as, like, these crazy things that you know, they're just out for their own gain. Kind of, it's almost like the difference in, like, Lord of the Rings between, like, the orcs and the goblins. Like, the goblins are very, I'm in it for myself. I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm, you know, I'll stab you in the back. And the orcs are kind of the opposite. Like, they understand who their boss is. They're going to follow their orders, and they're going to do what they're told. So I went with the imp for that reason. There's not a lot special about them. They've got a hit point of 10 and an armor class of 13. So these are your very typical throw a couple of them at a level 1 party. They do have a lot of resistances, though. They're resistant to cold, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing unless you have a silvered weapon. So, unless you're kind of building a campaign around devils and you're kind of making your party aware of this, that it might be a good idea to have something silvered, they're going to have a little bit more trouble than what it seems maybe on the surface. And I think a lot of DMs don't play to that aspect of... A lot of DMs don't play to the resistances and the immunities that some of these monsters have. You know, you kind of forget about them and you're just focused on the damage and taking the hit. But so they can be a higher challenge rating if you actually play to their resistances. They can shapeshift, and they do have devil's sight, so they can see in even in magical darkness. They have invisibility, so they're perfect for springing surprise attacks. And they actually have, they have a sting as well, so they can do poison damage.
Yeah.
So they're a versatile level 1, level 2 character, especially if you're building a certain flavor to your paint. So I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that poison damage can kind of drop a party pretty quick if it's hitting regularly. That 3d6. Yeah, I've been looking at the imp too, because looking at warlocks and their fakery, or their, what are they, familiars, the other f word, and imp's one of them. And yeah, they're kind of cool to have,
and it's cool too because they're the reason why they work as a warlock's familiar is because they're by nature lawful evil. They understand master and servant.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're not going to fight you on that. Like, they completely understand their place in the world, and if their place is to be the servant of a warlock, then that's their place, and they're happy to do it. So it's cool that they found a way to fit that in with the actual makeup of the monster.
Nice. Who's next?
I chose the flying sword. I thought it was kind of wasn't like a creature per se. It's a construct. So I thought it was kind of a different kind of monster that was really cool. It has an armor class of 17, which is, that's nice.
17?
Yeah, 17. It's a,
I mean, I guess it makes sense since it's just
a sword. Iron weapon. Yeah. It's kind of insane. But until you get up to it, it remains motionless and you can't distinguish it between a normal sword. So I think that's fun for like role playing purposes for a DM. Like, whether you have one or you have several, I think that that would be a really fun, you know. It's a challenge rating 1/4, by the way, so it has 50 XP points.
I like the idea, too, that, like, a party is going to be waiting looking for loot.
Yeah.
And they're going to see this magical, or this cool-looking sword laying there just waiting for them.
Yeah, for sure. Its immunities are to poison and psychic, so it's metal. Most likely, so you would think it'd almost be immune to everything, but... it can't be blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, paralyzed, petrified, or poisoned, probably because it's metal again. So,
have you fought one of those in game?
No, but if I was ever DM one, I definitely would put them in there.
Has anybody fought one of those in game?
Didn't you use them in your homebrew campaign before we started Tomb?
Me?
No. I thought we fought flying swords.
No.
I used one in that funhouse, the same one that I used the crawling claw in, and yeah, I used that paired with a rug of smothering, and it messed with the party pretty good.
The rug of smothering is nasty.
That's actually what I was going to choose, but I didn't realize it was a CR2.
Really?
Isn't there a spell, too, that has, like, a sword that fights for you?
Spiritual weapon?
There's five variations.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is maybe the same thing, but just an ally, essentially.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have one on your side.
Yeah, yeah.
I like all of the low challenge rating monsters that are sprung surprises. Like, I liked animated armor.
Yeah.
Anything like that where you get a chance to fill a room with things that look alike and have the party walk through and not know which ones are going to spring out at them.
I mean, are we avoiding mimics in this mentioning?
No, yes. I love mimics. The first game I ever DM'd, I made a point of having a mimic in there.
What are challenge rating on mimics, though?
It's a 2.
Is it a 2?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's going to come out.
Yeah. I've never used a mimic, yeah.
But, I mean, in every game, there's a mimic, and they're super irritating.
I DM'd just a one-shot that had a mimic in it, and it was...
The worst.
In Cursed Strahd, in the first, like, in the Death House thing, they've got Flying Sword, flavored as a broomstick. So it's just sitting in a room. You open the door, it just attacks you. Just the broomstick. And then they reflavored a mimic as a door. So you go to open the door and it just bites you.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Wow. Hey, spoilers on Curse of Strahd.
Bluesbro1 did say that it's nice to put challenge rating 1 monsters with other monsters as a way to add difficulty. And perfect. That's exactly what these low rating monsters are for. To fill out an encounter, you know, you don't want it to be too easy. Sprinkle a couple quarter or half challenge rating monsters in there, and just make it just slightly more difficult. Give the whole party something to do rather than all gather around the one big bad and stomp it down.
Yeah,
I like to call them like disruption mechanics, and it's something that disrupts maybe the people in the back that never see action or the fighter from tanking the entire time. Yeah. And so it creates a different tactic on the field that kind of throws the party for a loop.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole action economy thing. I mean, it's taking away some of those actions from the party, just peppering the main guy. Yeah. I like it. All right, Bob, what do you got?
Last one I have is the Dark Mantle. So the Dark Mantle, Chris with a K, Theo, you and I played against in the game we played right before or at the same time as Murder in New Bruges and Tomb of Annihilation. It's a monster that sits at the very top of a cave, and it's looking at it, it's, you can't tell it. It's different than from anything else in the cave. So it looks like, you know, stalagmite or whatever the one is hanging from the top. I always get them too confused.
Stalactites hang tight.
I don't know. Don't care. I can honestly say there's never been a time where I've really needed to know the difference in my adult life. So I kind
of grade science teacher lied to me.
Right. But you can't tell they're there. They look just like the rock, and then they can suck to your face like aliens. So they just sit on there and you can't see. They blind you. They are blind, so they use echolocation to hear. So the only way that they can't see you is if you deafen them. But they also cast darkness, which they can see in the darkness because they can hear. It's darkness aura, not the true darkness spell. But they are like, they just wreck you. They don't have a lot of hit points. They have 22, which is, you know, a lot for a half CR rating. But their armor class is pretty weak. But if they're on your face, you're going to hit yourself to get it off, right? And it's just one of those, it's a disruption. And it does things that really make it so that the party has to deal with this first, and then they can deal with this. Right. Or, you know, because if you let it sit on your caster's face, they're dead.
Yeah. So if it's on your face and somebody else attacks it, does any of that damage go into the character?
I would say, or
is,
yeah.
Is that like DM discretion kind of thing? I would say rules as written.
Yeah, not rules as written. DM discretion. But if I'm going to hit you in the face with a Warhammer, probably going to do some damage. Yeah. I probably wouldn't do full damage, maybe like half damage. But it would be fun.
That's one of the cool things about the Rug of Smothering is, you know, when somebody's wrapped inside and they're trying to beat it off. I said that. They're trying to get it off? How do you say that without being...
when they are attacking the rug.
With their hands, violently. that damage goes into the character that is wrapped, and so it's like, how much damage do you want to do? And try to. That was a gigantic moth. Was that a moth? Yeah. No. Sorry.
That was
one of my chickens. so that's kind of cool. Oh, so many distractions everywhere. So you encountered this dark mantle and did it almost disruption?
Yeah, it almost killed our party. So Theo, I don't remember if you remember that encounter, but it was like three of those dark mantles, and then
a roper. It pulled you off the edge.
Yeah, that's right. It pulled me off the edge, and it was awful. It was one of the most frustrating encounters I've ever been a part of, because it does things like take characters out of combat, and as a DM, you now control this character while these other things do this. So
yeah.
Some of the monsters that are able to command your attention are a lot of fun. Like, you come into the room thinking the big, nasty thing in the middle is what you need to focus on, and the little things that are going to swarm you are, you have to take care of them, or you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah. Well, that's what I liked about, we just fought the Frog Hemoth in our Tomb of Annihilation play, and that was fun too, because that thing had such a reach and was pulling people in from, you know, a distance, and then literally swallowing them whole. And okay, where'd Vinny go? I have no idea. He's trapped inside.
Devin's salt level was through the roof.
Frog food.
Dude, you were angry.
Oh, you made it.
Why do you always assume when I'm dying I'm angry?
Because you have that deep emotional attachment to your character.
Because min-max characters never die.
Damn.
I'm kidding. Oh, that's great. Yeah, so any other words?
There are so many.
So many words.
No, there are so many level one and under characters. Like, this is, this is barely scratching the surface.
Yeah.
I was looking on Cobalt Fight Club on just the regular monster manual. There were 17 pages worth of CR rating one or lower monsters, and that was just that book.
Yeah.
So tons.
a lot of room for DMs to kind of play and add flavor and add like those disruptors to the big bad guy. You know, we can diversify there. Well, great. I think that's a good thing to leave our audience with, or anybody watching, listening, is what are your favorite CR1 monsters? I mean, there are so many. Let us know down in the comment section below, or tweet at us what your favorite CR1 or below monsters are. Again, you can find us at Twitter on DN_dad. We're on YouTube at DadBodD&D. Podcasts at DadBodD&D. Twitch at Billy Zed. Yeah, let us know what you guys think of your favorite CR1 or lower monsters. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.